Now we'll turn to some of the letters to the Evening News with a real variety of subjects. First, Marcus Moore of Sproston celebrates the success of the forum. He writes, "The Norfolk and Norwich Millennium Library, which is located in the Forum building, first opened 15 years ago, and it is one of the most successful buildings in this fine city. According to recent figures, it is the top-performing library in the UK in terms of borrowing figures, with nearly a million books, CDs, games and audio items loaned out during 2015-16. These are impressive statistics and show what a huge role services such as libraries play in today's society. Libraries remain a key hub to the community. The Millennium Library has been a huge success ever since. We must continue to use this building in the future."
A news story about the aerial team the Red Arrows brings a follow-up from Steve Masterson of Norwich in praise of the pilots, but critical of the newspaper's description of their work. "I was pleased to read that Izzy Dawson's great-uncle Hadrian Jeffs had won her the honour of having her name painted on the side of one of the Red Arrows Hawk jets flying in the 2017 season. However, the use of inappropriate words describing the team did not fill me with confidence. The RAF aerobatic display team, the Red Arrows, are not daredevils. Firstly, daredevil is defined in the Collins Dictionary as a recklessly bold person. The highly trained and superbly disciplined pilots are never reckless. The flying displays are rehearsed and practiced to the highest levels, and the highest level of trust among team members is paramount. Secondly, the RAF aerobatic display team, the Red Arrows, do not perform acrobatics, defined as an entertainer who performs acts of skill requiring agility, coordination, such as tumbling, swinging from a trapeze, or walking a tightrope. What they do perform is aerobatics, spectacular or dangerous manoeuvres such as loops or rolls performed in an aircraft or glider. They are not a circus act. They are frontline fighting men who have completed one or more operational tours on a fast jet, such as the Tornado, Harrier or Typhoon, and have accumulated at least 1,500 flying hours and have been assessed as above average in their operational roles."
Next, we have David Balder of Lowestoft, who muses on the news of the gulf between rich and poor. "In the week that the Sunday Times printed the 2016 rich list, the top individual was said to be worth £11.5 billion. The rest of the top 10 were not far behind. At that time, Lowestoft opened a new soup kitchen, which I gather is well used by the local homeless and destitute people. What sort of world have we created where a small number of people have many times more than they will ever need, and at the same times many are struggling to find food and shelter? Professional sportsmen receive vast sums for playing sports in which they love to participate, while the honest artisan or factory worker earns a paltry sum by comparison. Some Norwich City footballers of mediocre talent receive twice as much for playing football per week that I, as a pensioner, receive in a year. Yet I'm content with my lot and am comfortable and warm and enjoy life immensely. I'm no left-wing activist, but life is very unfair for some. What is the answer?"
The paper carried a story of the 7-year-old park runner. C. Haynes of Norwich thinks he sets a fine example. 7-year-old Adam celebrates completing his 100th park run. Well done to this amazing, inspirational youngster. Who says that the young people these days just watch TV and play computer games? In these times of rampant obesity, many adults would do well to look to his example.
Finally, a word about football supporters from Gordon Vigras of Downham Market. "We live in a democratic and tolerant country which, when we have to, raises millions of pounds for good causes, takes in immigrants from strife-torn countries, and is usually one of the first to put its head above the parapet. Why is it then that football supporters feel the need to chant at and boo football managers, as is at present happening at Norwich City, when things are not going quite as well as they think they should be? How would these same people feel if this was happening to them at their place of work, if they didn't get things quite right?